God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's at your divine invitation that you invite us to go again that journey of faith to Bethlehem, that we too, like the shepherds of old, may see for ourselves this wondrous thing that has come to pass, that you, O Lord, have made known to us through the power of your holy word given in Scripture, through the gospel proclaimed in the waters of our baptism as we celebrate the Holy Supper again this night. We are grateful that we have you, Emmanuel, God with us. Be with us as we consider these things ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great thing which has come to pass that the Lord has made known to us. Recently, I came across the story in one of those guidepost Christian magazines. For several years now, there's a family living in Colorado, a younger family with four school-age children still at home. And back 4 years ago already, they established a family tradition. On the second Saturday of every December, they would all get up very early in the morning. They would pile into the family SUV. Dad would drive them all to their favorite pancake house. And there they ate breakfast. And when breakfast was concluded, they jumped back into the family SUV to take a trip, to go out and search, hopefully finding just the right Christmas tree. No, they didn't go to shop at places like maybe some of us have this year. They did not go to Food Lion, where Krista Bernthal, our preschool director, she said they have a great deal on them, $30, they're beautiful. They did not go to Kroger. They did not go to Home Depot. They did not go to Lowe's. They were driving to this magnificent Christmas tree farm, several acres there in the beautiful Colorado hillside. And they've been known in the last few years to spend as much as 2 hours, the whole family, searching for just the right tree. But this past year, building consensus among the members of the family was much more difficult because the youngest child, a daughter of 5 years old named Janine, she decided it was time for her to put her 2 cents in on which tree they should purchase. And every time the family was about decided on one, Janine's vote was always thumbs down. And she finally said, Mom and Dad, I'm not looking for the perfect tree. I'm looking for one that needs me, that I could take home and make beautiful, that we could take home and make beautiful. You know, that little girl in those innocent words was expressing nothing less than the very attitude of the holy God who created heaven and earth. Because when our God comes to us, he doesn't exclude anybody. You know, the good news of the gospel is that he comes and accepts people in all of their sins, in all of their many problems with which we're so often perplexed in life, with all of the hurt and the pain and the disappointment we carry with us through this life, making us sometimes want to decide, let's just be a hermit rather than risk being hurt again. And when we get hurt, the natural tendency, of course, is to blame. You did it on purpose. She did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. They did it on purpose. But that's not what St. Paul said. He said, this is the understanding of our human nature and our human makeup. The great apostle confessed, I don't understand my own actions, for the good that I would do, I don't do. The evil thing that I abhor doing so often, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says, one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. Now that we've been reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more shall we be saved by him through his resurrection life? You know, God comes to accept all of us. The shepherds were as common as the sheep they cared for, and most of the time no cleaner. They were what some city slickers today might have called Judea rednecks. And they certainly were not known for their honesty. Many people, the commentator said, if they lent something to a shepherd, they didn't really have any big hope of receiving it back. They were not even allowed to give testimony in a public court of law. They were considered to be so dishonest. Yet it was to these that the angel, the God of surprises, came. Fear not. For behold, I bring you great tidings of joy that shall be to you and to all people. Nobody is to be excluded. Then there was suddenly that whole host, like the beautiful choir that's leading us in our worship. Can you imagine what it would be like to hear the angels of heaven sing in a joyful chorus together? You know, he comes to accept every one of us exactly where we're at, and yet he doesn't leave us where we're at. He wants to transform our lives as we die to sin every day, as we live in the power of the waters of our baptism. To celebrate the birth of Jesus is to come pleading with the Almighty One for his forgiveness, his grace, and his mercy. To celebrate the joy of Christmas is to bring that love of God that is so distinguishable from all other types of human love and offer that to one another. You know, secondly, Christmas is about Jesus being the promised Savior. We heard in the gospel lesson from Matthew last week that when Joseph was so fearful to take Mary to be his wife, believing that she had been unfaithful to him, God came to angel to Joseph in a dream. Don't be afraid, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to hear the epistle lesson tomorrow, which is always the first chapter of Hebrews when we gather on Christmas Day. In many and various ways, God spoke to our prophets of old, our fathers of old, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed to be the heir of all things. Where two or three are gathered together, that's where you'll see me. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, there are some who say, we don't really need a Savior. Some don't believe that we're inherently sinful. But then how can you explain that man driving that big semi-truck into that open Christmas market in Berlin this past Tuesday, killing 12 people and wounding a number of others? You know, it's so hard to watch on television all of the destruction that's taking place in the city of Aleppo in Syria as they try to drive the terrorists out of the land. It's horrible. I remember it being in junior high school when we would see the nightly news and get the reports of the Vietnam War. James asked, why are there war and quarreling among you? Because there's something you want and you can't have it. You know, thirdly, the faith of Christmas is that you and I can come to Jesus empty-handed. Yes, the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the shepherds brought nothing but humble and contrite hearts and a glimmer of faith. God is unlike any earthly dignitary. He's not impressed by our achievements or credentials or resumes. In approaching him, we don't need any letter of endorsement from other people. Our God calls and welcomes everyone into a living, vital relationship with him who will become like the shepherds, humble and contrite with a glimmer of faith. It's a beautiful song, a poem which Christine Rossetti wrote in the 18th century, this verse. What shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd sure do my part. But such as I am, I give to him my heart. Here's another thing that we can see about Christmas, that when we experience Christmas, then we want others to know about this glorious salvation that we receive ourselves. They made known abroad the sayings that were told them concerning this child. No other gift in all the history of mankind has spawned more giving than the gift of Jesus Christ, our indescribable gift. I know that many of you are college football fans. I was kind of surprised when I moved down here from Greenville 19 years ago. And I saw these Clemson fans at Mount Olive Lutheran Church. I had figured they'd all be USC fans. But Gloria Metz set me straight. You better be careful, Pastor. You got to talk about the Clemson Tigers, too. I want to close by telling you a true story. It's a story, and any of you who are familiar with college football in the Southeastern Conference, you know the last name of Bowden, how Bobby Bowden was the head coach at Florida State University for 33 years, all the way from 1976 to 2009, 33 seasons he coached football there. He had two sons who also became coaches at major universities. His older son, Tommy, was the coach you probably know at Clemson University from 1999 to 2008. And then he has a younger son, Terry Bowden, who is still the active coach at Akron University in Ohio. But Terry Bowden also coached football for years at Auburn University from 1993 to 1998. Bobby Bowden and his son Terry Bowden were both nominated in the same year to receive the very prestigious Bear Bryant Football Award. They were in the large banquet one evening with all the other contestants who had been invited there with family and friends. And when it was announced that the son, Terry Bowden, got that prestigious award, there was no one who was prouder or happier for him than was his son, than was his father. Mr. Bowden. That's when Terry got up to accept the award, and he made a few comments. He said, many of you, of course, are very familiar with my mother. You know what a wonderful lady she is. But since we're here at this banquet tonight, I thought I'd tell you a story about something that actually happened in my life with my father and mother one day that you probably never heard anything about. He said, I'm so grateful that I grew up in a Christian home. Every Sunday, our parents took us to Sunday school and to church every single Sunday. And even when we were out of town, my dad made arrangements for us to worship in a Christian church somewhere. This one Sunday, we went to a church that was unlike any other church we'd ever attended before, because the people in their worship were more emotional than anything we had ever experienced before. The preacher also was of a different nature, screaming sometimes from the sermon and pounding the pulpit for added emphasis. There was Dad and Mom. We were always seated on the front pew with us five kids. Between them, the preacher decided to look around the sanctuary and circle and choose somebody. He chose the father. And he said, "Sir, I want to ask you a question. Do you have faith?" And Bobby bowed and said, "Yes, I have faith." "Do you have faith that if I put a 2x4 down here in front of the floor that you could walk across it?" "Yes, I have that much faith." "How about if I were to put that 2x4 across the top of two nearby tall, tall buildings in New York City? Would you walk across it then?" He said, "No, I don't have that much faith." But then came yet another question. "But what if somebody on the other building, on the other end of that 2x4, was holding one of your precious children and dangling that child off the side of the building?" This is when Bobby Bowden thought things were just getting really far too serious, and he'd never asked to be part of this interrogation anyway. So he stood up and he looked at his kids and he took a close look at them. And then he said, "Preacher, what was that question? What if one of your children were being dangled off the side of the building? Would you walk across the 2x4 then?" And that's when Bobby Bowden asked the preacher, "Which one?" That story has a very biblical point. Aren't we so grateful on this Christmas Eve that our Father God, as he looks at the human race, never asks, "Which one?" He came and lived and died and rose again for all of us. You know how St. Peter puts it so beautifully. "This is the God who's not willing that any should perish, but that every single person should come to repentance and be saved." St. John puts it like this, my brothers and sisters. Our Lord Jesus came to his own, and his own people received him not. But to all who did receive him, and then John tells us what that means, who believe on his name, to them gave he power to become the children of God, who are born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born again of God's Spirit. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we too have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Will you receive the gift of the Savior and his love again this night? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.